Rocker Friday. We're back again at Rocker Friday. Everybody, how was your week?
Yeah, it's good. It was good.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
It was busy.
Didn't do anything crazy, but yeah, no, it was good.
Yeah, we're still plugging away.
Yeah.
We're still plugging away, meetings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And replacing people.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way, just things have not worked out in some areas, and some might not even know yet. So act surprised.
Jeff is still here. Act surprised, Jeff.
I'm still here.
No.
Still here.
No, we're not. This isn't broke.
So we should say who we got here. So we do have it. We do have Jeff. Jeff has returned.
Yes.
The return of Jeff.
Yeah.
We got Donna. Hey, Donna. Donna's back. Donna hasn't got fired either.
What's that?
Donna hasn't got fired. She was out the company. I can't fire her.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't fire her.
No.
We can't fire each other.
She's the common sense of the whole fucking thing.
There you go.
That's a good
we got Rita.
Yeah.
And we have.
It's like Rita breathe.
She does. You can't fire everybody, Rita. Why not?
Why not? Are you the fire or are you the hire?
We do everything together.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. There isn't a decision made that's not done consulted. I may come up with the idea because I might get fired up one day, and I go, "Hey, I need to talk to you about this."
Yeah.
And she'll go, "Well, maybe they're doing something. I don't fucking care what they're doing. Why are we not their priority?" I'm talking facetiously with that. But in some cases, she's like, "Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
You're also two steps ahead of everybody. Like you want to done.
You're quick.
Like, yesterday.
You're quick.
Like,
yeah.
You don't want. Come on. I've got a, no. And then I have an agenda. You got to get things done. Right?
And then I have to sit back and I go, "What we've accomplished in 4 months is actually incredible. And not only that, I mean, we're lobbying with the ministry, and that's really through Greg. Thank you, Greg, if you're listening. And they're taking us seriously, and it's a big deal. The problem is that you get so far with one government, and then if Ford doesn't get, and Ford, you better fucking get voted back in, because then otherwise we're starting all over again.
Square one.
Right.
So
yep.
I mean, and there's a lot of people. Like the good thing is that it's a good arena for me because I do very well in that environment where I can be very articulate and say some very poignant, make some very, very good points without over talking or coming across and using great big words that nobody understands, because I'm a very common sense and I've got a lot of experience in business, and you know, it's a lot of the stuff that goes on with the Ontario LCBO, and the LCBO is the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. I'm not talking just the retail, but the regulations make absolutely no fucking sense. None.
So would you? I think you'd be a good person to lobby for this stuff.
Like, well, we were already there. We're there. And I think that
we're
was part of
in their
it.
Ear.
That's
sure.
right.
Yeah.
And that was part of the conversation. And again, thanks to Greg, because I was complaining to him on the phone. And he goes, "Should we have a meeting about it?" And he's a big wig in the government, and we did, and we had it with a representative from the Ministry of Finance. They agree with us. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some changes, because it does not make sense to me whatsoever that we could be delivered in China before we're even in Ontario. That doesn't even make sense, and it's wrong on every level.
Yeah. If you're not the only ones. There's
no.
other...
Other
industries, just, the spirits industry, the
sure.
wine industry,
but
beer industry, like they're all doing the same thing,
right.
Wishing that they could be selling in the LCBO.
But
and
if
they
you
have to,
so look at Ontario, for instance, and this was a conversation I had very early this morning with Andy that we're doing business with, and he has got a million years more experience at this than I could, and he's been a great resource, great guy. And we're talking about, let's just talk about the cooler side of it.
Right.
So the cooler side of it, we can't be reclassified as a small distillery with it. They don't recognize it that way. They'll recognize our vodka, but they will not recognize us as a small distillery with our coolers. They just won't.
Really?
They just won't. So what the thing with that is, and he said what they've been lobbying for, and this makes sense, is at least to have the same distribution that beer has. So beer has the beer store, beer has the LCBO, and beer has grocery stores.
Right.
What do coolers have? They basically,
exactly.
And it's the same item,
that's
essentially.
Right. LCBO only. Right?
Yeah, so what do you have? You've got probably Molson's and Labatt's that are the tail wagging the dog, and that's just not fucking
okay.
No,
that's right. Exactly.
It's not. You have a lot of producers here of RTDs, and if you had more, you're not asking for more, you're asking for fair.
Equal, fair.
Exactly.
And the tax...
Fair opportunity.
The tax payback on beer is much, much less than it is on
spirits.
Yeah. Right. So on coolers. And so, you know what? There's so much that is fundamental fundamentally wrong with how they've set up this system. Mm-hmm. And I think also the cooler side of it has been growing leaps and bounds as we've gotten forward, particularly through COVID, where mm-hmm. categories are losing share and it's moving into coolers. I don't know if we're lazy or what it is, but we want it ready to go. And everybody seems to be playing in the arena.
Right.
But I do know that if you call me domestic to the province, if I'm from Ontario and I'm using Ontario products and I'm using Ontario businesses and I'm hiring Ontario people, then I should be fast tracked in that retail store because I can't sell in my warm market unless I am.
Mm-hmm. I can't help but think that the people in this industry wouldn't appreciate you right now because you are a new voice to the same thing they've
exactly
been bitching
the
about
email
for
I got
years.
This morning.
Yeah.
Right? Because you are the new voice. You're somebody that's seeing it, that they've been screaming this for years, and until somebody else comes in and sees it and goes, wait a minute, this is wrong on so many levels, which you're doing now.
Yeah. And this is us 4 months in. We're, you know,
right.
I mean,
they probably wish more people were like you to see this.
Don't get me wrong. They lobby. There's a whole committee that are lobbying. They actually are. But I think
they need a new voice. They need another new voice.
They need somebody who is probably not afraid to stand on a podium and go, I know that you're entitled to make money and I don't begrudge that, but so am I.
Right. Exactly.
So am I.
Yeah.
And you're telling me, and I mean, from a retail perspective, so I'm a young kid or whatever, and I call everybody kid that's under 15. Anyway, but I'm a young kid and I got a job, and my job is to make sure that my sales come in at this. Mm-hmm. All right. My category is, say, call it flavored vodka. Well, who am I going to give my shelf space to? I'm not a rocket scientist. Mm. The guy that's going to spend the most money in marketing. So pick it. Smirnoff, Ketel One, Stoli. Pick them that all do flavored thing. So although our category could be much better, our cost of operating, our cost of bottling is much, much higher than theirs are based on volume.
Just based on volume.
So you're going to strong arm us and say, well, you need to put all this money into marketing and you need to do this much in sales and you need the marketing to support that. You've set us up for failure from the get-go.
Because we won't have the marketing dollars that the big boys have.
That's
you
right.
just don't. So but who are they going to favor? The ones with the big marketing dollars.
Because they have their job to do too.
But are you afraid that you might be biting the hand that feeds?
No, not at all. Because they're not creating the policies, they're living by them.
Okay.
They don't have to agree with the policies that they're doing. But I do think, keep in mind, I'm not talking about just the retail. The Liquor Control Board of Ontario is actually the board that controls everything. I know we look at it as a retailer, but they're a lot more than that, right?
Right.
They plain and simple, they are.
Does the Liquor Board of Ontario, do they have a board of directors?
Of course they do.
Oh, of course.
Doug Ford, the minister.
No,
I'm sure they probably do.
The board.
Yeah.
There's got
to
be a board.
There would have to be legitimate. Look, because it's like
they're not the policymakers though. The government. It's a crown company.
But when you get to a point where politicians are not willing to go the extra mile to see to what the taxpayers are saying, you're the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Your voice is huge, and that's what's been gone wrong in a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very lucrative business for the government.
For the government.
Yes, it is. But at the same time, that's fine. But you guys, you're paying taxes too. And it's not set up like a separate entity. I don't think they've made the necessary amendments and adjustments to the Liquor Board or the Liquor Act along the way over the years. I think it was conglomerated all at once, and there's been a couple T's here and a couple I's there dotted.
Has it been under review?
I honestly think fucking politicians are terrified to put their name on anything for fear it'll come back to them, no matter if it represents what's best for the taxpayer or not.
I think that today, so what's happened with the Ford government is that he already put some tax concessions in for the licensees. So if you were licensee before, for the benefit of buying at the LCBO, and you have no fucking choice, you had to pay a 6%.
They had a surcharge.
Of 6% because they were reselling, right? Now, what they've done is they've changed that. So there's a rebate to them now, which almost works out to around 20%. That's what I'm asking them to do. If I'm from Ontario and I'm domestic to the province,
hit the bell. Drink. Everybody drink.
But if
a drink
I'm
now.
From Ontario, give me a tax break from the LCBO, give me 20% more, and I'll put every nickel of that back into marketing so that it can compete with Stoli and Smirnoff and Kettle One or whoever
and all
else
the non-Ontario
doing it.
Produced
right.
spirits.
Spirits, exactly.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, which that's is my
the
point.
Import.
That's
spirits.
My point. Imports, that's yeah. that's the thing. That I don't.
Do you, so do you think they're not looking at the domestic stuff as closely as they should?
They absolutely are not.
They're
not. No,
they're not showing any
the domestics
type of favoritism
don't put any
no
money.
Matter what.
The
and
domestics
should
aren't.
Put,
it should
they,
be. You
should
have preference. You absolutely should. Because you're here.
You're in Ontario.
Or
you're employing.
Yes.
They could make that relatively mandatory. So we give you 20%. That has to go back into marketing. Fine.
100%.
Right.
No problem.
Absolutely.
Mm. Right?
And that, like when we met with them and you know what, they've been really helpful, by the way, the people that we, extremely. I want to go on there and we have been reclassified as a small distillery. So our whole mandate is to stay on their radar so that right. when they get Vodka Friday submitted, they go, oh my God, it's those two girls that were a pain in the ass.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I can just give them some shelf space for the love of God.
But they have been helpful.
They have been.
Within
they
the
have been.
But their hands are tied to the rules.
That's
exactly.
right. They have right. projections. They have to meet. I understand that. It really has to come from the tax remittance from the government. That's mm-hmm. where the break needs to come from. And then what that does is it actually opens it up for them. I mean, but they're.
So what ministry does this fall under?
Finance. It's not yeah. even.
It's
not even economics.
No.
Yes.
It's not gaming. It's
no.
not gaming.
No,
again.
No.
Well,
gaming.
No. That's casino.
Well, there's the
Alcohol
ACGO.
Gaming Commission yeah. that all
okay.
funds. It's all
a the Ministry of Finance.
They,
yeah. That's
it's a source of income for them. It's not
right,
even.
You're right.
It's not even building a business.
Right.
It's a source of income, and I get it's a big source of income. But you know the problem is that if you took the car industry and you said, I'm going to give one guy one business that we're going to operate here at the government, and they're going to sell every car in Ontario, regardless who the manufacturer is, guess what? They'd be fucking huge too.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing mm-hmm. anything that big. What they've done is they've tied my hands. And this is my livelihood. This is my savings that have gone into mm-hmm. this. This is my work and sweat. We've invested a lot of money mm-hmm. and we will be in the States before we will be in
yeah.
Ontario.
That's wrong.
You're ridiculous. Fucking right. It's wrong.
That's wrong. I'm
you're
sorry.
Wrong.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's, you're
not
lobbying.
Asking
you're lobbying
for
this.
You're not
you're
asking
lobbying.
For a hometown Good. Discount. You're asking for, I'm a fucking taxpayer. Our business,
in Ontario.
We're paying.
In
we're
my
paying.
Province.
I pay. Yes, personal
I
and
vote.
Your business tax with your and.
We wanted. We wanted an advantage.
The guy mm-hmm. from Smirnoff put probably $2 million in somebody's
much.
Pocket
no.
to have that shelf too.
This mm-hmm. is only the only province that does not prefer their domestic suppliers.
Yes, yeah,
they're so the only province right. that is not preferred mm-hmm. to that. So I mean, getting across, and there's a lot of big companies that are lobbying against tax breaks as well. And all due respect, I could give a fuck whether Smirnoff get a tax break. They don't. To me, you're an importer, or
yeah,
you're imported
exactly.
in, or you're exporting into Canada, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think you deserve that in all fairness because mm-hmm. you have the volume advantage. You're huge, mm-hmm. but you're not.
Their cost of production is so much less than ours per item.
Probably
right,
half.
Right, yeah,
I
yeah.
would say it's half just
yeah,
based
would,
on volume.
I would agree. Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already picking up, oh, I don't know,
your
50%
price point
more.
Is going to be comparable. Is it not? When it goes finally gets to retail, you guys are going to be the same market.
No, we're going to, we're, no.
They're more expensive.
We're going to be, and the reason for that is that you have to, the way that the LCBO work is you have to maintain a certain amount of sales per SKU that they put in there. So per item, if I have one flavored vodka in there, I have to be able to do this much in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have one 40 proof vodka, I have to be able to do this much in sales. So if we go head to head with somebody like Smirnoff and go to their price point where they're classified as a premium vodka, and I'm not saying Smirnoff is shitty vodka, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But it's very well priced, and it should be because it's the biggest vodka in the entire fucking planet,
mm-hmm.
right? If I have that, yay, look at us. We're going to be yeah. retired with fuck you money, right? Anyway,
yeah.
but what I'm saying with Smirnoff, if we go head to head with them, our sales per unit have to be through the roof. So realistically, we're better to trade up because you can't come down. You can't go up once you've
right.
started here.
We're better
exactly.
to get premium.
So we're
price
better
ourselves.
To do that
premium
as well.
Premium price?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So the other thing we're doing too, which
and
is.
And it's good vodka. I've tasted yeah. it.
It's fantastic
great.
Vodka.
Great vodka.
The problem is you're only going to be able to get it at a bar or a restaurant or whatever to
for
start
now.
Until we get a listing at the LCBO. Then we can sell mm-hmm. it online. The coolers are a different deal. The coolers you can get online as soon as we get them in packages. But we're going through the final testing on that now
yeah.
mm-hmm. and getting that done. So
on the coolers.
On the coolers.
Coolers,
yeah. The coolers
not,
we can go direct to consumer.
You're not
the rest
far
we
off
can.
For having coolers available to the general public then.
We are not far
no,
off.
No.
We're probably, while we're waiting for for some testing to come back. Yep. We have to get the formula. We had some misinformation. Actually, we didn't have the information.
Yeah.
Again, you cannot be, if they made a conscientious effort to make this more difficult, it's not possible.
Like, seriously.
You guys learn something new every day.
Oh, my
like
God.
Every week, like you go,
and thank goodness we
me?
Have helpful people that have answered questions for us. Though.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Right.
But
in
back
the
to
industry.
A smart team.
When we were talking about, like, in last week's podcast, I think it'll be last week, but last week's podcast, when we were talking about the women being an advantage thing, it really is. So even though you've had groups lobbying, the fact mm-hmm. that we're two chicks that own mm-hmm. the vodka company exclusive on our own, and we do, mm-hmm. will carry weight. It really will, because it'll carry weight to the media. We're not just another distillery. We're two women, mm-hmm. right,
yeah,
that are
yeah.
manufacturers.
No, don't make
like,
light of it.
It's a big, big deal.
Yeah. Didn't like to drink around a table, and they said, let's bottle this shit and sell it.
They drink like men. Are you sure you're women? No, it's been interesting for sure. It's been a challenge for sure. And I know, I don't even know where I was that somebody said, well, why wouldn't everybody do this? Let me tell you.
No.
Because yeah. you can't.
For the faint of
you'd give up. You'd
it's
give
not
up.
Not for the faint of heart. And like, look at the people you've had to go through just to, yeah, an agent. I never knew you would have had an agent to approach mm-hmm. the LCBO like that.
Oh, and they almost insist
they almost
on it.
Demand
the
it.
Problem is, you go, so who's paying the 10%? You.
Yeah.
No, you have to. And you better have a big marketing budget. They've set you up
yeah.
to not make a nickel. And that was the big wake up call when we'd met this guy that's from the industry, and we're sitting at a table with him, and he puts this bottle of rum in front of us, and he goes, I've invested $3 million in this. So obviously he put in a distillery and stuff like that.
Sure.
And he said, and I sold, what did he sell? 1,000 cases. And per case, he got $70 a case. And I went, what?
What?
And a case has 12 in there,
yeah,
by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
I went, you got what? How do you make money? He goes, you don't.
You don't.
So wow. now, I mean, being at the LCBO in their stores, everybody goes, that's really great. You finally made it. You don't make the same kind of dough that if you are in their stores. We're further ahead to be listed and run around and do it ourselves and have
okay.
them not put us all stores. I mean, I do believe that our product will be our stores faster.
But you want to get it into, you want to get into restaurants and bars. That's what you want to
do. Well, that's where
right?
we have to start anyway.
We have to start anyway.
Yeah, we're starting there anyway.
But
it's
that's
kind of
and then online
and then,
and then online for the coolers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you can market it through them, and you should, you're going to create a need in the LCBO.
Well, you drive your demand.
That's exactly
right.
So
yeah.
That's what we want to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then you sit there and you go, I'm sorry, you're saying no? Why? Mm-hmm.
Like
I mean, I know
we're in every
you're,
restaurant
yeah.
and bar in Southern Ontario. Like, why?
Yeah. Yeah, why would you say no?
Store?
Then they come to you. Right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we've been really smart about, like, thank God we had the information we do, because there's a really cool way you can manipulate the retails and stuff like that so that you are ahead
mm-hmm.
on this. And that's
mm-hmm.
just having the information on the regulations, because you're
mm-hmm.
not pricing shit. They're doing it.
Right.
They're telling you're going to sell it for this retail. Well, this is how much we're paying you.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the sales you need. So all that information has been really
yeah.
invaluable, because if you went in and you didn't know anything about this, you would make more mistakes
mm-hmm.
than you could imagine. And we're really trying to
not
sort of
make
not
mistakes.
Not
yeah.
make mistakes.
Yeah.
As much as you
at
can.
Least
it's
not
hard.
Not blatant errors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Minimize.
That's
yeah.
how you
yeah.
minimize the mistakes.
But we're still looking at the U.S. We have a meeting on Monday with a distributor in the U.S.
Good.
That's anxious to get us in. We would then truck it from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We are still looking.
Bottles or the RTDs?
We could do both in
both.
The U.S.
Oh, really?
No, no regulation.
You guys could be up and running in the U.S. before
yeah.
you even get.
Well, that's the reality. Does that make any sense?
No,
doesn't make any
no,
sense
doesn't.
To me.
No, it doesn't.
It's wrong.
Crazy.
We could be in Alberta before we can be
yeah.
in our warm mm-hmm. market, and we've created.
Well, fuck
the
it.
Demand
let's do it
here.
Anyway. Let's do it.
I don't want to go to jail. It's called bootlegging.
oh. Speaking of that, do you guys remember
Vic
the bootlegger?
Yes.
Everybody knows Vic.
Yes.
He was
yes.
there for years and years and years.
Yeah.
I think we need to open up a bar there called Vic the Bootleggers.
Now, that's not a bad idea.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Did you just come up with that, like, right this
No,
there?
I know where it is.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's
right
spot.
Across from right. the beer store on Murray Street.
Yeah, well, just down
like,
the street.
Sort of right
down
a bit.
Street,
it
off
was in
Elgin.
A,
Elgin,
yeah.
Elgin and Murray. It's
yeah.
right there, that corner. I think it would be a great place for...
It'll bring you over to...
What was
Vic.
It, a bar?
No.
No.
You know,
he was
a little short,
he was
a chubby Italian guy with a gun behind his door. And when we were younger, we couldn't get money or couldn't get beer. You went to the bootlegger.
Seriously?
Everybody did.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up here, so
it was twice the
case of beer was $10.
No kidding, eh? Good for him.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
And it was warm beer. So you were getting warm beer because it was just in a warehouse.
That's hilarious.
You could knock on that door at all hours.
Oh,
he
did.
All hours.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't matter. And he didn't say a lot.
No. He just sat there.
Give me your money.
I remember once Julie and I went in. Julie and I went. We were probably 17. And he handed her the case and the whole fucking bottom fell out of the case as we're standing there. We were scared. Oh, yeah. So she starts grabbing and goes, "Don't touch the beer." And I went, "Fuck, we're getting shot." Yeah. Anyway, and he came over. And he was like literally 2 feet tall. Yeah. Yeah. And he came over with another case, went, "Just leave it. I'll clean it up." And we thought, "Oh, thank you. You know, Julie, thank you. That was so very nice of you." And I'm going to get the fuck out.
Well, apparently he was there years before even we started going. Like, he was there for like years and years and years. I wonder
how he never got busted.
I think he did, but they just paid him off, whatever. They just did whatever he
did.
Well,
that was the good old days when you could pay off cops, right?
Everybody knew him. Like, anybody in Burford that I know of knew of, that we would go from Burford to Vic the Bootleggers,
Yeah.
So, actually, this is a good segue to our conversation, which was not all about the LCBO, but I feel so much better getting that off my desk.
No, that's very informative. And it'd probably be good for the general public, not a bad thing for them to know actually how it operates. And
why you're not going to see it in the LCBO right away.
The best thing that they could do, if anybody wants to help us, go to your LCBO and ask where our product is.
Yeah. Oh, and they
I'm looking for Vodka Friday. Oh, I would think they would. Okay. Who do I need to talk to about getting Vodka Friday in here? It's great product, blah, blah, blah. That will help.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That will help expedite that. So they're going to go, "Vodka Friday, what the fuck is wrong with these girls? They're going in on their own." We'll go to every LCBO.
I was going
to
say.
Where's Vodka Friday?
Well, hey, if we're going to go into your town to sell it to your bar, we're going to stop at your LCBO and say,
"We're taking over.
Where can I get the Vodka Friday?"
We're coming in.
Yeah, and I guess it's a thing. When
we should do that.
It is. We'll get
on the road.
LCBO.
Yeah.
Any like Kitchener, Cambridge, think just about stop it. In. Anything within an hour. Vodka Friday? Field day.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
I've come here to be a royal pain in the ass.
And even just email them. We want Vodka Friday. Vodka Friday. Anyway, so actually our topic tonight is growing up in the 80s.
Oh, I had two more questions.
Wow, that was Vic the Bootlegger right
there. Right?
Can I ask these last two questions?
No. Do you really want to ask those questions? They're
what
pretty
are they?
Rough.
Were they bad?
Well, they're...
No, we're not doing the pearl necklace. No, go ahead. No, I'm... No, really, go ahead. Donna can answer them.
He wants to ask these questions that he missed the last time we got together, and he asked the questions of girls that, like, he wanted to know more about you. He came up with a couple more questions. A couple more questions.
Of course he did.
Of course.
Okay, what?
Okay, let's go.
What?
Ask them.
I'm scared.
he wanted to say these then, but then he got scared. Now he says, okay.
Do you want me to hold it over here so you can read it, actually?
Oh, my God.
Right.
Okay, you ready?
Fuck, I'll read it.
Exactly.
Swallow or spit, face or chest?
So growing up in the 80s.
Right?
Yeah. Onwards. So yeah, we're going to talk about growing up in the 80s, which was probably, I got to say, from my perspective.
Yeah.
The 80s.
Like being born in 68 and now living in, God, I can't even believe it's 2022.
Yeah,
I know.
I would say probably the coolest decade.
84.
80s? Yeah, the 80s were fine.
Like
they
movies,
were,
music.
Everything.
Just everything. Fashion was all over the map.
Music in the movies,
haircuts,
yeah. Haircuts, hairstyles.
We never thought about it during the 80s. We never thought of it as being the decade, though, because we were always looking at the 60s and the 50s as being cool decades, and more of the 60s, I think.
I think if you're between 50 and 60, I think the 80s might have been.
But now looking back, the 80s were the decade.
They were the
70s was all hippie and acid and shit, right?
The 60s, we had disco in the 70s. Yeah. We had
60s sort of started the transition, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it started from bubblegum and poodle skirts to you know, pants and slimmer skirts and whatever, and dancing and
rock
music
and all that stuff. Yeah,
and then the 70s took it from there. And And then the 80s were just innocent.
They were fun.
And fun.
Yeah.
And honestly, what a cool thing to
go. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
So we had the benefit of our families not really giving a shit about us.
I don't know
about right? So
well,
you had more
that.
Freedom than you knew what to do with.
My
we didn't have cell phones.
No.
That's pre-cell phones.
No. I mean, if
you might just start to see car phones maybe
late,
near the end.
Late 80s.
Yeah.
Late 80s, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. It was
in
the 90s.
I never had.
They were in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
The big ones
no.
in the box.
No, we didn't have.
For
I
the
didn't
majority,
have
you didn't have one to trip around. You had one cable company.
Yeah. Nobody could get a hold of you. Like, so let's let's do it. So you know why?
All right.
I mean, some of the cool things that I wrote down was we were talking about this, I think, last week was parachute pants and Oshkosh jeans and mom jeans and spandex and all of it. Everybody wore all of it. And a lot of it has come back.
Oh, yeah.
I actually just saw an ad for a fashion ad and the girl's wearing MC Hammer pants.
Yeah.
And I went, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, they weren't cool then and they're still not cool.
Not cool.
Although I wore them. I fucking love them. It's like wearing pajama pants.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
The music videos were new.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Brand new.
They were awesome.
Oh, they were more of a story then.
They were. I mean, they were like a little mini movie.
Yeah, a little mini movie.
And you wanted to see them.
You used to sit and just watch music videos for hours.
Like much music or MTV because it was all about the video. And now you turn it on, it's like, you can't find a fucking music video on either one of those channels.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
The music videos like we grew up with probably in the 80s were like your own little B movie that you would make in your head when you're driving down the road singing. And now the new ones, it's all, when they were forming a theme, it was about a play or the shot of the song was about, and now it's just every video seems to be about the singer.
Yeah.
Well, do you
instead
remember
the story of the song?
Yeah.
Do you remember one of the coolest videos is Aha? Yeah. Take on Me.
And it goes from
a drawing to kind of a movie back to a drawing again. And the only reason I know this is because we'll play it on YouTube when we're giving it over at Tom's house.
Yeah.
And and you think that we didn't have any of the animation. None of the computer stuff existed back then. So it was all done by hand, essentially. Like but it was super cool. The best thing about the 80s is that we didn't know what the lyrics were. That was the best. Yeah. So you could always sing in the same song, and everybody was singing something different. Because you didn't know what it was.
Do you remember when the Thriller video came out?
Oh, my God,
Thriller?
Yeah.
Because it was like a mini movie before you even got into the song. Yes. And then when you get into the song, it's like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
And they did a huge
Vincent
release.
Price
on it.
Vincent
yes.
Price
yes.
got involved. Is that, are you kidding me? Like, so that was just, that was probably one of the biggest
the
hits.
Theatrical
in the 80s.
Part of it. And, that's
and then Duran Duran came out with their
Reflex.
Hungry Like the Wolf.
That
Reflex
was music
cool.
of the 80s was awesome.
Oh, my God.
Ballinger's up in Cambridge was the first time I saw that Duran Duran, the Reflex song. And believe me, I was like a square peg in a round hole up there. But I still had fun.
There were some really great bars.
I had to hitchhike over
there. There were some great bars. So, like you said, Ballinger's was around.
Lulu's.
Everybody went to Lulu's. Lulu's was the biggest bar, or had the longest bar in Canada.
What a shithole, though.
I thought it was in the world.
It could have been the world.
Yeah.
Because
I
it was an old Kmart.
Oh, it was a shithole.
It was. But it was an old Kmart. Remember, it was an old Kmart. And they converted it into a bar. And it had the bar just went forever.
Do you remember the balloons? Yeah. Like if you had a double white, it meant born again virgin or such like that.
I don't remember that.
The balloons you could have, like if you wanted to be single or whatever, you would get a different color and hang it onto your... Purple was horny.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, you go buy balloons, and then that's where I first, I think, saw the glowy shots. I think they used to walk around with those.
The iridescent ones.
Busloads of people would come in. All over.
Yeah, they had a great fucking house band. Do you remember the girl that sang? Yeah. Oh my God, was she good? Hmm. She was amazing.
I walked in there one night, coming in the door with Old Dwight, and. Wasn't sure where we were like, let's go up. Al said, some country singer. We're walking in. There's this big, tall girl taking up the doorway in a big red outfit with a big red hat. And I, holy shit, Al, let's go out and look at this cowgirl. Kick open the door, and she turns around, and she's tall.
Yeah, yeah.
Terry Clark.
Terry Clark.
Gorgeous.
Oh, right.
And Terry Clark. I don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah. She's huge country. Terry Clark. Oh,
I look at her and I go,
great.
What are you doing
great
there, Cal? Really? You look like you're in for a good old night at Lulu's.
Yeah. Terry goes, Clark.
What did he say before? She can really ride a saddle. Wasn't that it? What was the saying?
She can ride a saddle.
She's good in the saddle or something about riding a saddle.
Gotta get her hat.
No, but what was the reason? What did you say it was? In bed, we all went, oh, Jeff.
It was just a.
Anyway,
but it was a cool bar.
It was a great bar.
Yeah.
The Cowboy was a big bar too.
Oh, Brantford.
In Brantford, it came people from everywhere,
Every weekend.
Tequila Willie's in Burlington.
Yep.
Oh,
Tequila Willie's, that was a lot of freaking fun.
Yes.
That might have been more 90s than 80s.
Yeah.
The Late Show. Where was that?
Where's the Late Show? Niagara Falls.
I'd never been there.
I didn't venture there.
Every weekend.
The old theater. And I did the speed dating one at that place one night.
They had speed dating in the 80s?
Well, on the phones, yeah. I was down there like in my, I was like 20 years old, we were down there.
You did speed dating?
Yeah, you were, they had phones in the bars, and you'd sit across and...
And you talk on a phone, like, across phone from each other? Like
that. That's so weird.
In fact, we were
sure
whacked.
Was a prison?
Yeah.
No. Sure you weren't in prison?
Right. I forget.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was in prison.
It seemed like I was in a bar.
In prison. They have a glass window.
They had a glass window between us, and I had to pick up a phone. Jesus.
You know what else was cool about the 80s? Cool? You remembered your phone number.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? I know my phone number, but I don't remember a whole lot of other. My kids, that's
9446607.
You could probably remember. 7597374. You probably had about 10 friends.
No, you remember. Everybody remembered. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
It was great that we could do that. Now you'd be fucked. My phone died. I don't know.
I can't remember my own half the time. I can't remember. It's like, what the fuck is my phone number?
I mean, all your socializing was in person.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was. And you didn't need to. Nobody organized a play date. Basically, you went, I'm going to so-and-so and hope they were home as you knocked on the door.
That's right.
Hey, so-and-so, are we playing? And they would go, yeah. Your parents didn't manage you.
No, they almost didn't give a shit. Said,
who was driving a car in the 80s?
Get your ass in bed at home by such a time, and that was it.
Yes, I had a curfew.
Or they went to work.
I never had a curfew.
I didn't have a curfew either.
But I made sure that I was in bed before like stupid hours.
Yeah. Well, 8:30. I was reading something today that your parents didn't want to see you past 8:30. You were incredibly respectful. Yes. And if you didn't have good, you absolutely they hit first and ask questions later.
Exactly.
Like, true story. You
and
never
I don't blame them. Like I don't. You know.
No.
I mean, yeah, it hurt, but you know, it taught me to like
smarten up,
keep my shit together. Like, you know,
well, that's
right?
A tough job keeping your shit together.
Yeah, I know.
Full
fucking
time.
Maybe you should have had your ass kicked a little more there, Jeff.
You kids had absolutely zero voice. You were meant to be
seen, not heard.
Yes, exactly.
And your parents' life did not revolve around you.
That's right.
Nor did they micromanage your schedule either. You weren't jammed with shit.
No,
you
had expectations, you had to live up to them. That was
I wrote to my ball games by myself. Mom and dad, it was like Saturday. Dad would be working. Mom's running around doing whatever. Mom stuff all day Saturday, and I'd ride down to the ballpark, play ball, come home. How's your ball game? Great, thanks, Mom. We lost or we won, whatever the case may be. Well, hopefully next week, I think your dad can make it. The following week, he's going to slide down for an hour, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like going out of your way.
Oh, my God. I played sports my entire life.
Yeah.
And my parents, I kid you not, went to one basketball game ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever.
They never watched me, right? They didn't watch anything.
No.
Yeah. No. They're like
my parents were the
kid.
Same way.
Like, they didn't
my
have
parents,
time
they
to be.
They could care less. I mean, I had to beg. I was in scouting, and I would... I remember actually like so nervous asking my parents to take me to a scout meeting once a week. And I felt so guilty that my dad had to stop what he was doing and drive me 15 minutes to a meeting and pick me up 2 hours later.
Yeah,
I was so appreciative of that.
You knew how big a deal it
was. It was big for them. And now it's like,
you hit the nail right on the head. You said, I was so appreciative. And I'm wondering, I mean, I see it in my own girls where sometimes I'm like, do you appreciate anything?
No.
No.
But we didn't have everything.
No.
And if we asked for something, the answer in most of the time would be
no.
And guess what? You learned to live with fucking out it.
Or you learned how to sell yourself a little bit better.
Or, yeah.
Because you knew the answer is always going to be no first, so you got to learn how to. I learned how to
manipulate
my parents to get the answer that I wanted. But you knew how
but
to.
It was
I swear to God.
If I tackle it a certain way, I'm going to get a no automatically.
A work in progress, though.
I went to OFSA for track. And, you know, proud moment, right?
Deal,
you go home
and
you're like, I'm going to OFSA. And this is for individual sport, right? So I go home and my mom goes, oh, that's nice, dear. No clue what it, like zero clue. Can you take the bus? Right? She didn't want to drive me.
Yeah.
What was your
track? running, track, yeah. Sprint, oh, yeah.
Sprint
and hurdles, yeah. But whatever. Anyway, yeah,
cool. You're little for hurdles.
Yeah, I know.
You must have been light. Well, you're light though.
She can.
Me, I would have barreled through them. Right? Fuck it. I'm not jumping. Fuck that. Jump like, get out of my way.
tripped on up the way I wanted.
Yeah, fuck you.
How many am I allowed to knock over?
No, we. Yeah, it was. Anyway. You're right. Our parents. They. I mean, if I had said to my mom, "Hey, I think you should take me get a manicure," she would have thrown me $2 and said, "Go buy some nail polish, princess."
Yeah, right? Exactly.
There was none of this. That's right. It just wasn't.
Here's a magic marker. Knock yourself out.
Right, but did you feel like you missed out?
No.
You just, and the freedom, I can't even explain to the, I don't know what the fuck we thought was so wrong with how we were raised that we micromanaged our kids to their own demise. Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah,
because
I was footloose and fancy free from like 13 and up, I guess.
Yeah. That's right.
I
was
if you didn't study or do your homework, that's on you.
No, just roaming around.
And if
Paris.
You failed, they didn't go to your teacher.
No.
Oh, no.
That you were in shit.
Oh, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
No, you were going to summer school.
It's on you.
You're going to summer school.
God help too, you if the principal called because you were being an ass at school, God. Or the teacher, you were dead. Oh. You might as well. That's it. It's over.
That's
my will's in
my parents
top
automatically. They automatically.
Not that I have anything.
With the principal and the teacher. You were wrong.
You were wrong.
The principal and the teacher.
Well, my dad
said it was.
My brother was a
down.
Shit, right? My oldest brother.
Yeah.
So the principal calls and says, "I want to give him the strap." And my mom went, "Okay.
Okay.
If he deserved,
he deserved
then
it,
off you go."
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Oh yeah. My
the other thing too is that if you were the teacher's pet, you got everything. You got everything. And if you got an award every week, it didn't matter.
Oh,
and your parents didn't lobby because it wasn't fair or make sure that everybody got a trophy.
No, you're just a
you were rewarded.
Decent kid
or you were cute or blonde like I was. I was a suck up kid.
I used to bake my teacher cookies.
You were a suck up kid too.
Oh, yeah.
Was he a good looking teacher?
No.
Oh, very funny.
No, I just.
I don't know.
No,
baked cookies. I had a couple hot
I didn't suck up to my teachers, but I know that they had teacher's pets and that used to piss me off, let me tell you. I remember a race, one of those foot races you do when the kids for track and field or whatever. And I remember this one teacher who was favored this blonde haired hockey player dude.
Yeah.
And of course, I didn't play hockey and I had blonde hair. And we were in a foot race and somehow he ended up falling and I won, but he withheld it because he said, "You tripped him." And I didn't fucking trip him.
No.
Because they,
And I know it's because he was favored him. And
did
also,
this come up in therapy at all?
No, I still remember it to the same.
Dave?
And I know I won. It's like, I won fair and square. He tripped himself, the fucker. I can't help you, stupid blonde kid.
Do you remember
put some
his
skates
name?
On, fucking hockey boy.
Do you remember his name?
David Lee. Sorry. I don't have. I need therapy.
We're gonna go Egg's house. Let's go Egg's house.
Let's go Egg's house.
Right? Egg's
you know what else is really cool about the sex or about the? About
I like.
The 80s?
I like. He was a good kid, but
the sex.
No, there was only two sexes. That was fucking awesome.
Yes.
And there was female and male, and that was it.
Yeah.
Gender? You mean?
There was two sexes, female and male. That's it. I gotta tell you. So if you're in this generation and you're
I get confused because my friends.
You got to understand, we're not going to get it. We're just not going to understand it. And you can't change that
friend's
enough.
Friend's daughter's...
Because it was very simple.
My friend's daughter's girlfriend presents herself as a boy, but she's a woman, a girl. But so he's saying, you have to call her...
by a boy or they or whatever.
Yeah, but I was like, I looked at her, I go, well, she's a girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, no, but... Jeff, she presents herself.
She identifies as a boy.
But I was
I'm getting used to it. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
That was new.
No, not at all. I'm sorry, and this is not going to be a favorable. It's not going to be. Nobody's going to like this. But no, you're either female or you're male. Fucking pick one.
No.
Here's how I
look at
it.
That's just how the world works. It just
I don't care.
I
be
agree.
Who you want to
exactly.
be. I don't give a shit.
Exactly.
You want to?
I don't give a
you
shit
You
want to
be a fucking cow. I don't care.
It's about respecting people.
It doesn't affect
respect.
My life.
Wait
exactly.
a minute.
Just
no,
be
it's about being soft.
No.
Sir,
no.
Can you imagine in our generation if you ever came home and said, you know what, I'm not sure whether I'm a girl or a boy. You know what your dad would have said? You're a fucking boy. Knock it off.
True, but they were repressed back then.
Oh.
They were repressed.
And
I think
it was there. They were terrified.
Exactly. They were terrified.
And who wants to live through life terrified?
Exactly.
It was a stigma.
I don't care if you switch. Have at her. But be something. there's not this gray area in any of the animal kingdom.
But there again, I don't give a shit. It doesn't affect me.
I was just happy it's not my daughter, because I was like, I said, like, girls, don't, you can't do that to me. Well, what's wrong? Because it confuses me.
They didn't have a voice. The thing of it is, they didn't have a voice, and now they do. So get with it.
Here's what I know. If my kid came home and said, I'm binary or whatever they call themselves.
Yep.
Is that what it's called?
Non-binary.
Whatever.
Yeah. I'm still going to love my kid. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Exactly. I don't care what you are.
Say yourself whatever you want.
I get that. But you know what? From the beginning of time, you were one or the other. And I don't care if you switch. It doesn't matter to me.
That. You were taught that. That's not the reality of what the
life was
like.
And that was a lot of religion being crammed down.
Do you know how many transgender people were killed over the centuries?
No, it came from Adam and Eve.
Over the centuries? Because you presented you saying, I'm not a...
switch. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't be bi. I don't. I'm not saying don't be gay or lesbian. I'm not saying any of that shit. What I'm saying is, pick something and be it. And be very careful because a lot of people. I mean, I read this. I should know. I'm not even going to say this. Anyway, you know what was really cool too? The Rubik's Cube. Anybody ever solve it at this table? I know I didn't.
No. Change the subject. We don't want to go back to.
I watched how to do it though. I watched this thing, and it shows you arrows on how it's not as complicated as you think.
Oh no, it's complicated.
Is it?
Which is
the Rubik's Cube? Have you ever solved it?
No.
No. Have you?
Okay,
no.
But if you watch. Thing on it, it shows you the direction that you're to turn the different and it
makes sense after you see the directions that you're supposed to do, because I see how quick they can do it.
Yeah.
So they obviously there's
they
a
just
formula.
Memorize the pattern.
There's a formula.
I wonder if I could do it as an adult.
Yes, you could. I have faith in you.
I could do it slowly.
We should do it here in the show someday.
No, that would be boring.
If you watch this little thing, it tells you how to do it.
Yeah, I would probably do some research, but I wonder if I would have a better understanding.
It's not all
dilly
nilly. It's like a formula.
Remember, you do well with new projects, crocheting.
No, I start and finish fuck all. I'm well intended. So I got to tell you. So Sunday we're out and we're antique shopping. And Drew says to me, you know they're going to start selling you, sending you crochet shit. I go, guess what they're getting back? Fucking needle point that's all that's all framed. And I said, and then if they send me more, they're going to get that string art. Fuck them. You want to start sending me crochet? I will keep upping the ante. Then I'll go to ceramics.
Hey, that was something in the 80s, ceramics. Everybody did ceramics.
Yeah, everybody was doing, everybody had a kiln.
I had a little mini pottery wheel.
Did you? Yeah. Oh yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah.
I did not.
I was very artsy as a kid, so I had everything. Gotcha. I had all the paint my numbers, I had all the art coloring books, all those shit. I had everything.
Yeah. I didn't have any of that.
I did.
No?
I was very
artsy. I'm just a fan of an at. As we've established. Oh, look, squirrel.
I sewed, crocheted, knit. I did it all. All of it when I was a kid. Like,
I knitted, I think. And I think I might have done that string art once.
I know my
grade
mom
eight.
Used to do. She used to do the macrame. Do you guys remember
macrame? Oh, I was just,
everybody did macrame.
I did macrame.
Yeah, you had the little wooden thing.
Wooden dowels, and you did all these crazy, I don't know, planter hanger thingies from the ceilings. Everybody did the macrame. Macrame, and then there was cake decorating. That
and
was
there was
thing.
Basket weaving.
I did cake
decorating.
I didn't
do any of this.
My mom took a class, and she taught it all to me.
Exactly.
I know.
What was I doing?
I didn't do cake decorating.
What the hell was I doing?
I don't even know what I was doing.
I wasn't decorating cakes. I wasn't macrame.
I can make the roses and all the shit.
Really?
Yeah,
I can.
Yeah.
No.
And
I
don't even like ice. Like, I don't like cake.
No. You did it.
In the 80s. So we're talking 84.
84, yes.
84?
I was in university.
I was 19 years old. No, I was 20.
I was in grade 10.
84, I turned 20. Right?
Yeah. I'm 19.
But I moved in my first house that I bought at 19.
Jesus.
I was 19.
What are you doing here? Figuring out what? Had you invested $1,000, what would it be worth today? At 12% return, I can do that for you, by the way. Probably a lot of money.
Yes. No, I was trying to remember how old I was in 84. Like then Dave said, he's a year older than me. So,
the other thing with the 80s is that we watch commercials.
Yeah,
and we had favorite commercials.
Yes,
like
but they were
who
good
wore
commercials.
Short shirts. Remember that?
Do you remember that? I don't remember the commercial.
That was Nair.
Short shorts. And the girls
she wears
by.
Short shorts with Nair. Where's the beef?
Yeah.
Where's
yeah,
the beef? True. That was Wendy's.
Yeah. Mikey.
Commercials were entertaining.
What
they
the
were.
TV shows?
Mikey Lee in it. Mikey likes everything.
Oh, the Love Boat. The Love Boat.
That was more, that was, I was younger. That wasn't in the 80s.
Fantasy Island.
Oh, it was in the 80s.
The plane.
Love Boat? It was 70s.
Oh, it might have been the end of the 70s, early 80s.
Yeah,
that Fantasy Island. The plane. Yeah. I think the stupidest one was Aquaman. I used to watch that.
I never saw that.
No, no. I did.
The cartoon?
Faithfully. Aquaman. No, it was a movie.
Oh,
it was
with Patrick Duffy.
Yeah. Oh, Dallas.
No.
Dallas was all Dallas. The 80s was all Dallas. Yeah.
That was like cotton kind of steamy, right?
Falcon Crest was another one.
Yeah. Well, those programs were
Knots Landing.
The introduction of the hot woman.
On those?
Would have been more.
Yeah. But if you,
but if you look back to some 70 movies, they're pretty advanced
right? The hair's bigger. Big hair was
like Dallas. Like Dallas in Dynasty.
Yeah, because they were Southern women, right?
Joan Collins, yeah.
How big she was, and, or, you know, just voluptuous. And who's the other one? Linda
Evans
was the other one.
Yeah.
You know what?
Wonder Woman, Linda Carter.
Yes.
She was super hot.
That was 70s, I think.
She was kind of 70s. Cheryl Ladd. More late 70s.
Cheryl Ladd.
Charlie's Angels.
Definitely. That was 70s, though.
That was 70s.
Jacqueline Smith. Oh, was that 70s?
So all the 80s movies, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, St. Elmo's Fire, that are still relevant today.
Day Off. I watched
Ferris
them all.
Ferris Bueller.
That's
I know.
My daughter's. That's where Sloan's name came from.
No way, really?
That was the girlfriend's name.
Yeah. Was it Sloan?
Ferris's girlfriend, Sloan. And my ex and I always said, if we have a girl, that's what we're going to call her, and we stuck to it.
Isn't that funny?
Computers.
Yes. Oh my God!
Yes,
I remember being in college, and the computers were the size of rooms, and you had terminals, and the computer could do fuck all until you told it how to. So you were a programmer.
You had to program it.
If then, then go to whatever. And I remember sitting there. It was the first time it's ever happened. And I'm in a terminal, and there's only, I was after hours, and there was only maybe one or two of us in there, but there were other rooms that were connected. And somebody sent me a message on my computer, almost exploded my head. What? How about I? Who? And you stand up and you look to see who's there,
you think,
right?
Of the technology that we've witnessed in our lifetime, and I'm only 57, right? So only 57. But the technology I've witnessed in my lifetime. So I remember black and white TV, tubes. And then when color came out, I remember our first color television.
Yep.
I remember our first microwaves. Oh, my God. That was a phenomenal for any cook or any woman. It was like, what a godsend to have a
massive.
Microwave.
They were
and it turned a dial.
VCR?
VCR. The calculator. I remember getting my first calculator, and all it would do is add, subtract. It was a handheld calculator. And transistor radios. Radios. Progress into the Walkman. Into the CD, or even the cameras.
You forgot the 8-track in between.
8-tracks. Oh, yeah. The camera, or 8-tracks, and then cassettes, and then all those things. And then look at the cameras, where the cameras went from the brownie with the flash bulb that went pop, and it went black.
Yeah.
And then it went to a disc format. You had to put a film in, and it'd be like a disc. So there's the disc camera. Before you even get to the digital. And then now we do all that stuff
on our phones.
On our phone.
It's crazy.
All those appliances that we have, except for the microwave, it doesn't really cook anymore. But
no.
But that's coming.
No, but we have more power on our phone than a mainframe computer had for entire university when we went to school.
It's incredible.
It's not even close.
And they ask
what we have.
And they wonder why we can't put it down. Are you kidding me?
I worked at Wonderland in the summers and in the office, in the resale office, and you'd go into the computer, like where all the computers were, and you literally walk. It's a room. And the computer's
huge.
The size of the room. It was incredible.
So in the 80s, at the end of the 80s, you could buy a desktop. Well, I mean, it was big. So do you remember the dot matrix printer?
Yes.
That
you had to load exactly perfectly.
Perfect.
And then you had to pull those things off the side, and it sort of fed it that way. And if you fucked it up, you were done. Like, it was offline. Yeah. Like, the pain of it was terrible.
Thin paper.
Oh, no. And
yeah, it's very thin. It goes through, gets stuck or whatever. Yeah.
I remember my first computer was a Commodore VIC-20, and I think we talked about on the podcast where you had to put a cassette tape in it to run a program.
Yeah.
It was simple program.
The floppy.
Games. No, it was just a floppy. Oh, it was a cassette.
Yes.
And it was a cassette tape, and that's what you ran your program on, a VIC-20 computer. And that was before the Commodore 64.
Yeah.
So, and the VIC-20 was marketed as the home edition of a Commodore 64, because the schools would get the 64. It was like small, that was high end, right? The Commodore 64, but the VIC-20 was for the home use, right? Where you could do all these little
when it was
games,
on your phone line,
then
it would be.
And, yeah, exactly. Well, they didn't even have internet at that time. And then that was pre-internet. So that was.
So it didn't do anything, right?
The VIC-20. No, play games. It played games.
Like
yeah.
The ball thing? Beep.
Yeah, different games. Beep. All different types of games. Different types of games. Yeah. Well, it was called the Commodore VIC-20.
Another thing that would in the game.
Yeah, and you'd be, oh. Yeah.
It was a keyboard,
it was
and, keyboard
so
and, a,
so
and a cassette tape.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was a keyboard, a cassette, and it hooked into like your television, and you could play games off of the Commodore. And you had different cassettes you could put in to play different games and different activities or whatever.
Do you remember, we all grew up, the phones on the... on the wall or it's on
like the rotary dial,
and then all of a sudden you had one that you could take
a
around
portable.
The house.
Oh,
portable,
yeah,
portable
and it was
phone.
Like so big.
I'm outside, man.
In the short period of time that we've been alive, the amount of technology we have witnessed from birth to like it just.
Do you remember the rotary phone? If you misdialed,
it's incredible.
It's like you had to start all over. Fuck.
and then you didn't bring it all the way around, right?
I don't think there's ever been 50 years in any decade that has had much change in technology.
That much
progression.
No, if you look at the 1900s, where they started
in a shorter period,
where they started maybe period. Okay, so technology, but they started. Keep in mind, they started with horse and carriage, and then ended up with cars and planes and all that other shit. Right
over a long of years, but I'm just saying, over the last 50 years, the amount of technology we've witnessed in the last 50 years, which is really a short period of time, if you look at the decades.
Yeah,
it's insane what we've witnessed, and which makes me wonder
where's it going.
50
like I speak to my dad, you know, he just turned 88, and he reflects back sometimes.
Yeah.
Says, oh Jesus, I can't, you know, always on the phones, everything to you kids. I don't get it. He said, the last thing back when you're a father of a small family, if you're out down at the Legion, I mean, if they knew the Legion number, they were lucky.
Right. Oh yeah.
Other than that, if somebody was out for the day, see when I get home.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Down. Your parents were out.
Yeah.
They didn't care what you were
doing.
No. We don't. We birthed you. You're on your own. Yeah. There's a fridge.
What
figure
you
it out.
Today, Jeff? Oh, I just walked across the ice of the Grand River today, Mom. You know, just fucking around. Oh, that's nice.
Right.
Supper's in 10 minutes. Get cleaned up.
Wash your hands.
Yeah.
That's right.
Your parents didn't know what you were doing.
No.
Well, they had no fucking idea what you were doing.
That's what we then when our kids came along, all of a sudden we became
these
helicopter parents that were like, fuck, I don't want my kids doing the shit that I did. Right?
I always had to call when I got somewhere, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like
that's,
I always
yeah,
had
so
to
did
call.
I.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did I.
But in the interim? Or once you got where you were going, they had notified.
So I was telling Donna a story because the guy that does our marketing owns that store, the one that was at the end of Julie Street. And I remember I always slept over at Julie's because the bus would go in. So I remember her saying to me, you got to just ask your mom if you can sleep over one more time. And I said, I'm not. She's going to be mad. No, we'll go to the corner store. We'll do it there. So we go and I call my mom and I go, can I sleep over again? And my mom said, oh, for God's sakes, why don't you just move in? I go, she said, yes, I can move in.
I remember when you were first coming to town, because that's when I first met you.
I was in grade
you.
9,
That's when I first met you.
Yeah.
And but it was the ability, if you couldn't walk really anywhere interesting from your house in Brantford, the mall would be a good 20-minute hike back then. Where Paris, you walk 5 minutes, you're downtown.
Becky and I walked everywhere. Like, that's the other thing. Hmm. We walked. Our brain told our legs that if you wanted to go somewhere, you walked or you took the bus.
Or you grabbed your bike.
Or you had a bike, yeah. That's but right. Mostly we would walk. Becky and I fucking walk everywhere. And then we'd go into some little forest area and smoke cigarettes.
I grew up down I was out
drink
in the country.
Drink beer and that you got from Vic.
Got from Vic.
Becky says, I'll go get the beer.
Yeah, right? She looked like an adult.
Oh, she did.
No, I I grew up on a country road, so you just biked everywhere. And it was like the nearest neighbor was like 3/4 of a kilometer down the road. So you still, you know, it wasn't like an easy walk, but that's what you did. You just, if you had to go to the store, that was 5 kilometers away.
Yeah, and if your parents were taking you to a sporting event, they dropped you at the fucking door and took off.
Yeah,
that's right. They didn't hang around.
They didn't always
hold your hand.
No, they didn't hold your hand on anything. I'm not going to be there forever. You think I'm going to be here forever, boy? No, Dad.
It's shocking that we all survived as well as we did, to be honest.
I know, right?
Like today, I don't know what we... I mean, is the world a little bit more dangerous today? Yes. Cars move faster. Everything moves faster. Certainly, the availability to technology does not make it a better place.
We learned a lot more than back then. Like we're more educated, we're more informed.
Yes, but and which when you're young is almost I would say that's not a good thing.
No,
because you assume that you have all the answers and you really have none of the answers.
I didn't know the dangers that exist when I was like in 15.
Right. Yeah. We were a lot more naive to the dangers of life.
Nowadays kids it's there. You can't avoid it.
There's a lot more cuckoos though.
True.
And the population's bigger, so
I don't know if there's a lot more cuckoos or they're just that much forward about it.
Forward.
Yeah.
Like they're forward, because I think there was always some crazy stuff. We just didn't hear about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if a child got touched or molested back in the day, it was taken care of in a different way.
And I'm going to say that maybe some of the parents that actually suffered that as a child became, that's where maybe some of it happened, because then you had no voice as a kid. You had no voice. Yeah, and it's not that our parents were terrible people. They weren't, but they just, you were, again, you were not the center of anybody's universe by any
means.
That's it.
You know your place.
You
know your place.
You are important, but you're not the center of the universe. That's right. That's a good way to put it.
So one of the ones, the two things that came out of the 80s that were huge, one of them is the Berlin Wall came down, which we got to see live on TV, which was really cool. And the Just Say No campaign, and I have to give it to her, and that was Reagan's wife that did that.
Yep.
She really did a great job with that, where it was programming people for your first response to say, just say no to drugs. So there's the other thing with our generation as well. Now that weed is legalized, when we grew up, if you smoked a lot of dope, you were a druggie.
Yeah.
So that's our mindset.
So the history with I'm going to get some political. I'm going to get in a fight with Rita right now. So with Nancy Reagan, the whole problem with that was she deemed marijuana as the gateway drug.
Yes,
and there was a whole generation of black men that went to prison for possession. years, and it was the start of I believe they suppressed black people.
Oh, I because think they have it. Generationally for years.
No, but I mean that was the start when they put people in prison for simply just because they liked marijuana, and it was black people they were the ones that liked it. White people drank, they drank. The blacks, they liked their marijuana.
What?
They put
what?
Them in prison.
What?
They put them in prison for it.
No, Jeff, present party excluded, Jeff. We know your stance on weed growing up. No, and I think he's just doing a broad brush statement.
Yes,
probably
it is.
More
it
geared
is.
Towards
no, I get what you're saying.
Inner
it
city
is.
Stuff than
it
anything.
Is. It is. In the U.S. And it's more American, too.
Well, it's such a quagmire down there on their drug control anyhow. But regardless, it was a different era to grow up. I mean, I think the hardest drug from the 80s would have been coke, and everybody was sniffing it, and then you watch people's lives go down.
You think
the
so? Because I was not. I wasn't a drug person.
Me neither.
I was anti-drug during the 80s. You know, same. I was very anti-drug.
I wasn't.
You know what was really cool that I read too is that there was no security at airports in the 80s.
No,
really?
Right?
No security.
That's true.
You wouldn't
that's
see a security. You might see a cop every now and then.
Wow. I'm trying to remember back when.
Yeah, there was no security. Yeah,
and there was less. Yep. Dicking around when you walked in, there was less weight to get to the back to sit down.
Could smoke on the plane?
Smoke on the
plane.
Oh,
you
could smoke fucking everywhere.
Exactly.
It was almost
encouraged.
In the hospital.
Bars.
Coming
home from
a night
in the
doctor's
bar.
Office.
Restaurant. No smoking right beside each other. Yeah, right. It was all crazy.
You go to your doctor's appointment and he'd be sitting there having a cigarette. He'd offer you one. It's like,
I remember coming home. That was the big thing. Waking up Saturday morning. In the 80s, coming up, hey, Mom, what's going on? Well, you're awfully late last night. Yeah. The peer pressure, Mom. The guys kept me out. But you'd reek of smoke.
Smoke, yeah.
From because...
Being in a bar.
And
but
it seemed
everybody,
just seemed everybody
smoked.
Smoked in the bar.
Everybody smoked.
I was in Boz's place one night, set my beer on the ledge to go dance on the dance floor. And I came back,
That's happened to me recently, in the last year.
And I'm talking to this woman, and I've got a multiple. I'm going.
Yes. I won't say what the party was at.
But I went, you know what? Because I had to talk. I was ready to spit up in her face.
I know.
So I'm going to leave it in one last note. That probably the coolest thing about the 80s was we had to spell. There was no autocorrect. True story.
That's true.
And I'll end it with that.
We had whiteout.
Yeah, but you had you had to go to the dictionary to learn how to spell. It was fantastic. We were so smart. But the autocorrect cracked me up, I tell you. On my phone, and there's sometimes I just leave it because it goes, no, that's not that's what I'm not trying to say. That is so much funnier.
But when anyway, we wrote with punctuation, then we don't do that now.
Yeah, we called taxis back then, but we're going to call an Uber. That was cool, everybody. Yes. Happy Vodka Friday.
Happy.
Like, share, buy a t-shirt. We're going to have hats soon and hoodies and all kinds of nuttiness. We're going to ramp up our social media stuff, so follow us. We're fun. Exactly. And the product is coming. It's on its way. I know that we keep teasing you that it is, but it actually is. Anyway, cheers, everybody. Have a good night.
Cheers to the 80s.
Bye, everybody.
Cheers to the 80s.
Awesome. Love you.